We're in 1 Samuel chapter number 5 for a moment, please. 1 Samuel chapter number 5. And if you can turn your cell phones off, that would be a blessing. How many of you are going to take a vacation in the next 12 weeks? You're going to be out of town at least one Sunday. At least one Sunday. And you're leaving three tithe checks before you leave. Boy, all the hands went down. Look at that. Tell you what. So 1 Samuel chapter number 5. Here we are, 1 Samuel 5. I'll give you the introduction and then we'll read this here. This morning in the morning service, we talked a little bit about things I like that my wife cooks. And we talked about some meals I do not like that she cooks. And so the meals I do not like, she serves when I'm not there. And I like that. You know, that's pretty good. And so sometimes she'll make something. She'll say, what do you think? I'll say, this will be a great meal when I'm out of town, when I'm out of town. So guess what she does? She never makes that meal while I'm in town. Sometimes she'll say, how's this color look? And I'll say, I don't like that color on you. And I'll say, wear it when I'm out of town. And so that's fine. When you love somebody, you want to please them. My dad, as he got a little bit older, he didn't like the noise of someone crunching on something. My daughter Faith had some lack of, I think, iron. I've never heard of this in my life, but that's what she said. So she ate ice. And so she'd eat ice. I mean, for supper, what do you want tonight? A glass of ice. That is real strange. Probably not good for your teeth. And so she'd be crunching on ice. And it just my dad did not like that. One day he was in the car and he was driving and someone had a bag of chips. My dad rolled the window down, grabbed the bag and threw it out the window. Just didn't say a word, just. If we would be careful what we eat, what we wear to please our loved ones, how much more should we study to see what bothers our Savior, what he doesn't like, and avoid that. So we're going to look at several things that I would say God hates. And it just behooves us. For some, it'll be a reminder. For some, it'll be teaching tonight. So we want to just go through this. Look down here, please. 1 Samuel chapter 5. This is the story, and we've got several we'll cover, that Israel had lost the ark, a very precious piece of furniture. It had the Ten Commandments in it, Moses' Aaron's rod that budded, a pot of manna for a keepsake. And so it says in verse 1, and the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon, that's a fish god, and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. Do you get the picture? So here's the ark, and then here's this fish god. They bring the ark right next to their fish god. The next morning, the fish god is on his face in a prone position of worship before the ark of God. So number one, here it is. What's God hate? God hates idolatry. God hates idols. I told you about Kevin Wynn destroying an idol in Mexico City, and it went viral. Oh, they got mad at him. I saw the video. He had this great big statue of a saint and somebody else. He said, idolatry is a sin. And he took this hammer right there. I don't know if he knew somebody was videoing, but he smashed that thing into a million pieces. The Bible says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not bow down to them or worship them. It's not a sin to have a picture of the nativity scene in your house. It's not a sin maybe to have some picture of what you think Jesus looks like, but we don't bow down to that. We don't worship that. And the reason is it makes our big God look very little. Our God is not paper. Our God is not gold. He's not silver. He's not stone. He's not a wooden sculpture. He's bigger than that. If you can spend time with your mate or your children or a friend, you'd rather spend time in person than with their picture or a carving of them. Melanie was out soul winning this week on Saturday, from what I hear, and she knocked on a door and someone came to the door. Guess what they were doing? They were carving an idol. They were making their own idol that they could worship. Am I telling you the truth? Okay. What kind of idol was it?
It was some kind of goddess.
It was some type of a goddess. Okay, moving right along. We don't worship little g gods or little g goddesses. God hates idolatry. He just hates it. In one of the, quote, churches in Napa, in the missal book where they list the Ten Commandments, it's interesting. When they come down to the command, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images, that command is missing. They pulled it out of the Ten Commandments, and then they split coveting into two commands, so it's still ten, but they pulled out the idol one. God hates idols. Sometimes people will visit our church. Pastor, where's the crosses with the dead Jesus on it? He's not dead anymore. I don't have a picture of my dad dead on a cross. I don't have pictures of friends dead. He's alive. We don't have that morbid stuff. Well, where's all the statues? We don't have statues. Our God is so big. He's in our heart. We think of how big he is. So number one, God hates idols. Number two, God hates us doubting his abilities. Look over here in 1 Kings for just a moment. 1 Kings chapter number 20. 1 Kings chapter number 20. You'll see all throughout scripture, when a revival took place, a new king took over, he destroyed all the idols. They broke down the houses of idolatry. They cleared out the temple where they set false gods up there. God hates it. He just hates idolatry. But number two, we see in 1 Kings chapter number 20 and verse number 28, he hates this. He hates it when we doubt his abilities. You know, we have that children's song, my God is so, how's it go? So big in the motion, so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. And then someone yells, for you. And notice here, Israel had just won a battle against the Syrians. And the Syrians are regrouping. They said, God's people beat us, but it's because they were on the mountains. They beat us because they were on the mountaintops. Their God gives victory on the mountaintops, but let's fight them in the valley. He will not give them victory there. Wow, sounds like a song, huh? Life is easy when you're up on the mountain, and the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. God says, do what? You mean I can only win in battle on the mountaintops in the good times? Really? You don't think I'm still God in the valleys at the tough time? And notice what he says here. 1 Kings chapter number 20 and verse number 28. And there came a man of God and spake to the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, but he is not God of the valleys. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So that's what the Lord says. He says, I get upset when people think I cannot do something that's big. We have a big God. We have a strong God, a mighty God, who spoke and the worlds came into existence, who gave us a written word of God, who had the blood of himself die to pay for our sins. And he's got this great big plan. And he is able. The Jews asked when they were in the wilderness, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? God says, what do you think? I didn't lead you out of Egypt just to starve you. Yes, I'll have a table. I'm going to give you manna. I'm going to give you quail. I'm going to give you water. God will provide. Sometimes we doubt his abilities. Can God get us through this? Oh, yes, he can. Is God able? Oh, yes, he is. Is he sufficient? Oh, yes, he is. Is he all I need? Yes, he's all we need. Number three, we see something else that upsets God, and it's in Hebrews 3. If you don't want to turn to it, I'm fine with that. But looking down in verse 19, it says, so they could not enter in because of unbelief. Right. Unbelief. You know, sometimes we don't look at someone and say, you're lying. But have you ever said this to somebody? I don't believe you. It's kind of the same thing, isn't it? And so God says, here's my word. And God's people said, we don't believe you. You remember Moses brought them into the wilderness And they tasted the grapes of Eshcol and the fruit of the land. And God says, go in and possess the land. I will be with you. The 10 spies said, we can't do it. We just can't do this. We don't believe we can win in battle. God got so upset. He goes, really? He says, you guys are going to all wander in the wilderness the next 40 years then. You don't believe me? None of you guys are going in. What is belief? Belief is believing, yes, God can. Does that mean he'll always do it the way we think? No, but God can. Believing him. The Bible says Jesus did not many miracles because of their unbelief. Sometimes when Jesus would raise the dead, he would come into the house and then remove everyone from the house that was a doubter. He didn't want them around when he did the miracles. You know, I wonder what God could do if we really believed he could. I wonder what he could really do if all the naysayers and the doubters and, the 10 negative spies were not around us. I wonder what he could do. God hates it when we have unbelief. Well, I prayed and I asked him to save me, but I wonder if I'm saved. He said you would be. Unbelief. Here's another one that he hates. And if you'll look over to Proverbs just for a moment, I want to give you this. Pastor, how many points is the message? It's like that little porcupine going under a fence. Just a few more points and we'll be through. And so looking down at chapter 6 of Proverbs, and then we see in verse 16, you say, well, Pastor, the God I serve, he's all love. Well, you can't love fruit and not hate weeds. You can't love your children and not hate rattlesnakes that get into their rooms. You can't, and on and on. But Proverbs 6 in verse 16, he says, these six things doth the Lord hate. And God never hates people. He hates actions. Yes. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Look at the very first one he lists. A proud look. You know, that's a strange thing. That's one of the only sins you can commit by how your face looks. I've seen some people, and to look the way they look, it must be a sin. No, but he says a proud look. You know, you can look at someone sometimes and just about know what they're thinking about you. You can look at some people and kind of get the vibration of how they feel about you. You ever been looked down on? You ever been snubbed? You ever been acted like you're invisible as people cut right in front of you? Like, whoa, look at this. And you cut off in traffic or cut off in parking spot or people butt in. Just a proud look. The Bible says in another passage, God seeth the proud afar off. It's so evident to God, he can look at a proud person a long way off and just spot them. God hates it. What is pride? It's thinking we have something or deserve something because of ourselves. Everything we have, everything we are, is because of God. We have nothing without him. And notice, here's just some signs of pride. Look down on others, pick on others, laugh at others, prejudice, thinking we're better than others, rarely say, I am wrong, I am sorry, I have sinned, cannot be under authority because they know more than everybody else. The Bible says, he that walketh in pride, he is able to abase. God hates pride so much, he deals with it real severely. I think of the story of Nebuchadnezzar. You'll see him. Well, you'll see Satan up in heaven. Lucifer, I will, I will, I will. God kicked him out of heaven. And then we see Nebuchadnezzar. He said, look at this great Babylon that I have built. I have done this. And God gave him the heart of a cow. He went insane for 7 years. And people saw him grazing in the fields, his hair growing long, his nails getting long. That was the king. 7 years. And then he came back to his senses. And at the end of that, Nebuchadnezzar said, now I know that the Most High ruleth, and he giveth his kingdom to whoever he will. And they that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Let me encourage you tonight. If you're struggling with pride, you better deal with it. You humble yourself or God will. The way up is down. Heard about the Charles Spurgeon had a preacher's college in London. And every Saturday night they would meet. He'd have different students. Son, you come up, you preach for 5 minutes. Okay, you come up, you get a sermon, you preach for 5 minutes. One boy he picked, one student he picked, the guy kind of strutted up the platform. Brother Charles, where's your strut? Okay, anyway, but he kind of strutted up the platform, and he got up to preach his sermon, and he kind of got lost and couldn't find his place, and didn't make much sense, and soon he just closed his Bible, hung his head, walked down, and sat down. God humbled him. Spurgeon looked at him and said, "Son, if you had come up the way you went down, you could have come down the way you went up." And sometimes the Lord does that to us. He humbles us. Humbles us. You know, sickness humbles us. Why are you laying in bed for 3 weeks? A little germ. One germ. Okay, moving right along. Want to give you these quickly here. Here's another one. Offending the kids. Look over in Matthew just for a moment. I want to give you this. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And here we go. Matthew 18. And Jesus is talking about children being saved, children accepting Christ. And he says the children are the greatest and they're so humble and this and that. But chapter number 18 of Matthew, verse 6. Notice what he says here. "But whoso shall offend," that means to trip up. They're going good and now they're tripped. You're doing something that makes them fall flat on their face. "Whosoever," he said, "whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me," children can believe in Christ as their Savior, "it were better for them that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." When we were in Israel, we saw those millstones. They were just great big stones that would grind the wheat on. That weigh, who knows what that weighed, 50, 100 pounds. Jesus said, better to put that on someone's neck, just throw them into the ocean. And so that's why we need to be so careful encouraging these young people, saying good things to these young people, treating them important. And that's why several doctrines have destroyed our young people. The teaching of evolution has offended our youth of our nation. When a child is told that he evolved and he was not created by a loving God, you have destroyed a lot of esteem in that child. They're just an accident. There's no plan. There's no eternity. They'll live. They might as well party, do everything they want to do, because when they die, they're done. There's no afterlife. There's no judgment. There's no right. There's no wrong. If it feels good, do it. What a destructive force in our nation. Then we think about the Bible being scoffed and public education, many other places, television, movies, all over the world. And this book is questioned. Is it true? It's filled with errors. It's filled with contradictions. It's just fairy tales. It's kind of like Disneyland. No, it's not. This book is God's holy word. From cover to cover, even the Bible says holy Bible. It's all holy. It's without error. This is God's inspired word right here. And the young people need to hear it. Years ago, they had a thing in the deep south that was called dial a prayer. And if you had a problem, you could dial a certain phone number and there'd be a phone counselor. Does anyone remember this? Am I too old? And you could dial a number and a phone counselor would pick it up and pray for you. Well, someone said they now have an atheist dial a prayer for the atheists. You call the number, no one answers. Over in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 19, the Bible talks about Lot going to the city called Sodom. It was named that because of the sin of sodomy, homosexuality. The whole city was given over to it. It said Lot came into the town. The two angels came to visit him. And it said the house was surrounded by the men. Not going to go into detail, but they wanted those angels, the two visitors. And guess who surrounded the house? It said both the young and the old men. The young and the old. They were not born that way. They were formed that way. They cannot give birth, so they must recruit. Woe to our nation and our public education that promotes those lies. Promotes the lies that you were not born the gender God assigned you. God made a mistake. Well, sorry, there's no God. So whatever gender we think you ought to be, you need to consider it. What a mess. You check into it. How happy are those people? They're more likely to commit suicide than people that don't have those surgeries and don't switch over. And there's a lot of mess going on about that. And for public education to condone taking a child to have a surgery without their parents' permission, what in the world? We don't let the teachers take kids to get a tattoo on school time. We don't take them to cut their fingers off, cut their foot off. No surgeon in his right mind would do a surgery that's unnecessary. Try going to your doctor tomorrow saying, you know, I just don't like this hand. I think I'd like to have it cut off. Anyone in his right mind's not going to do that. What a mess our nation's gotten into, because people have messed with the minds of these kids. I love it when the kids come to church here and they sing the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. A basic song, but full of doctrine. For the Bible tells me so. I am weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. I love the song. Offending the kids. God hates it. Someone reminded me today that this starts in our nation. It doesn't start in our church. Gay Pride Month. Gay was a great word. It's been kidnapped and twisted. Rainbow was a wonderful covenant that God showed Noah that He would never flood or destroy the world again. That's been kidnapped. We can't use it now. So many words, so many emblems and symbols. People have taken it and twisted it and put a dirty meaning to it. God hates pride. For America to have a parade that gives pride and focus on us, God hates that. And it's a sin. It's an abomination unto God. It was an abomination in the Bible days. It still is today. Doesn't matter who approves it and who's for it. Whatever party, whatever political leader, they make all the announcements they want. God hates that sin. You say, well, Pastor, they're born that way. Who told you that? Is that a scientific proven thing? Well, two scientists, what's their names? What was the proof? What was the experiment? See, we're just so simple-minded. We hear something on the news and, well, that's the way it is. They can't help it. Yeah, they can't help it. It's a choice. It's a choice. Since homosexuality is a sin, and this is Gay Pride Month, is July going to be lying month? About August, murder month? About September, rioting month? How about October, stealing month? Should we just have a sinful month for every month of the year? Just asking. Quickly here, look over back in Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter 6. You say, Pastor, it's our first time here, and we're not used to hearing things like this. Should have been here this morning. It was real happy, and was real encouraged. Keep your pole in the water. We had a good time. We laughed, had a good time. And Proverbs chapter 6, look at this again. I want to give you three more. We're done. Proverbs chapter 6, if I love the Lord, I want to avoid things that make Him mad. And so notice what he says. Here's several more quickly. Look down in verse 17, Proverbs 6, verse 17. God hates a proud look, a lying tongue. Look at this. Hands that shed innocent blood. You don't get much more innocent than babies. And you hear all these little thoughts. It's a parent's right. Keep your politics out of inside of the mother's. None of your business. That's a lot of business. It is our business. Someone's got to protect those innocent children. How in the world can God bless America? July 4th comes up. We can wave our flag. We can be patriotic. I'm ashamed of what our nation has become. We've killed 36 million innocent babies. Who was that whose life was taken? Was it the one who would find the cure to cancer? Was it the one that was supposed to be a great president? Was it the next Billy Graham who would win millions of souls? Who was it that never had a chance to live? And how hypocritical of our nation. If it feels good, do it. They publicize it. Well, if If you have unplanned pregnancy, we'll help you end the pregnancy. The pregnancy's ended. If you feel guilty about it, we have free psychology. Look at that circle we're going in. What a mess. Hands that shed innocent blood. God is not happy with America right now. He is so upset with us. And for us to just think he's going to turn his eyes and continue blessing us, we're in for a treat. We're in for a surprise. I came to hear this. Here's another one. Look down at verse 18. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations and feet that be swift and running to mischief. So we're here tonight. We say, Pastor, I've never done this sin. I've never done that. All these things God hates, I don't do any of them. But these last two we may. And I hope you'll look at this. He said, feet that be swift and running to mischief. Here's what that means. That means when there's mischief or trouble going on, we're quick to get there and hear all about it. Now, we don't have to run. We can run our fingers on a computer. And we can blog, or we can pull up something, read articles or text. We could ask someone, just text a call, and we're in the know. And I understand. I want to know what the weather is. I want to know if Mike Tyson survived the fight with Jake Paul or not. You know, the important things. I want to know if the New Orleans Saints are still going to have a team this year. Nothing's wrong with being up on that, but we ought to be simple concerning evil. Amen. It ought to be, hey, did you hear so-and-so had a divorce and they had an affair and he ran off and who knows what's going to happen. You ought to be the last one to hear about that. Amen. When did this happen? 12 years ago. It ought to be 12 years and you're just getting it. Some of you, it's like telegram and telebaptist. Don't be the one running to mischief. You want to be the one that says, I haven't heard that. They didn't bring it to me. And see, there's a reason they didn't bring it to you. That's good. That's good. And then last, give you this one too. Those that sow discord, it says among the brethren, look at this. And he that soweth discord, verse 19, among the brethren. What is that? It's simply disharmony. It's disharmony. Let me just play a little bit. I didn't get to play tonight. Cassidy wouldn't let me, and Melanie wouldn't, and they just thought they had it all. And so here it is. Here's a C card, and there's the fifth. One change. That's disharmony. Sometimes it can be one word. It can be one comment. There's harmony in the home, and then someone makes a comment. Harmony in the church. And someone says something. Well, like the special tonight, and it was real good, but Lori sure is loud. Oh, a little harmony. How about you sing 1,000 specials and come up for all the practices? Man, older I get, I'm glad it's a little louder so I can hear. I just don't think the pastor ought to talk about hate, a little disharmony. Do those kids really have to come from Fairfield to our church? Did you see that one propping his feet up on the song rack? He beat the one that you didn't bring. He behaved a whole lot better than the ones you didn't bring. Well, I just don't like the new tracks that Brother Jonathan made. The print's too small. You designed the track. See, disharmony and sowing discard is... when God's trying to put people together as a team to do something, we try to divide it. Let me just encourage you, families, at home, if there's an issue in the church or something you don't like, something you disagree with, something said, man, woo, wow, man, I don't know if I can swallow that. Meet with the pastor alone. Find out where he's coming from. Don't go home and have roast pastor. Well, I know the pastor just hadn't felt good. He was in the hospital a while back, and that's probably why he's saying things that don't make sense. Really? Some of these people that come to our church, why do we let them come? Now, the question you ought to ask is, why do we let you come? Some people are a little off that come here. Yeah, but in the right direction, at least they're coming to church. They that sow discord. You don't want to be that gossip. You don't want to be the one that's stirring up trouble. One woman, she had caused some problems in a church, and she apologized to the pastor. Oh, pastor, I'm so sorry. I'm such a gossip and a critic. I want to lay my tongue on the altar and get it right. He said, ma'am, the altar is only 17 feet long. I just don't think it'll fit. I'll end with this. Years ago, I was on staff in Louisiana. Single staff member. I was engaged, not married yet. Two of the teenagers had a mom. And they invited me over for a home-cooked meal. Fried chicken, rice and gravy. I mean, it was wonderful. We had a Christian school at that time, and Brother Glenn was the principal. Real good guy. We sat down to eat. We prayed, and I took my fork and put it in that rice and gravy. And as soon as we finished praying and I started to eat, the mother said, about Brother Glenn. I don't like the way he's running the school. I went, oh. And it was a good meal. It looked so good. I stood up, put my fork down. I said, I got to leave. I'm sorry. I didn't know I was coming here to discuss one of the members of the church. I have to go. I don't do this. But I appreciate you inviting me, and it looks wonderful. And I would have loved to have stayed, but I have to go. Color red in her cheeks. So embarrassed. And she should have been. She should have been. You have an issue with someone, you talk to them. You don't talk behind their back. You don't text 95 miles an hour with gusts up to 160. You talk to that person. If you have an issue with them, calmly, that's in the Bible. That's why some of you have never done it, because you hadn't got that far yet. I think it's in Genesis 1. You talk to them. Some of you have never done that because you've never seen it done. You've just seen family members, they get mad and they send a text or slam the door and they walk out. Mature people sit down and talk one-on-one and work it out. Why? We're on the same boat. We're in the ark together. We're going through storms and we're going to get to the other side. In heaven, we're going to have a perfect body. You want to end right with your brothers and sisters. Amen. So important. A lot of things God hates. I hope that we'll be Christians that start to become more and more like him and hate the things that he hates. Love the things that he loves. Love people. Love the word of God. Love the backslider who's coming back. Love the lost souls. Love him with all of your heart.